packed week this week.
It's primarily Tony Curtis and Jack London.
Okay. Okay, we're in the Rambam Hilchos Bechoros, Perek Beis, Halacha Ches, Chapter 2, Law 8. We just began discussing the idea that we're very suspicious of Kohanim for putting blemishes in a Bechor.
Not Sam,
but other people. And we said that it violates a law to put a blemish into an animal of Kachim, and similarly an animal of a Bechor. And therefore we penalized. If we found out that you put the blemish, we say you didn't accomplish anything, you got to wait for the next blemish. And that's all. Yeah. So we continue from Halacha Ches. So from going to the overt blemish, it was like you mamish went and made the blemish. Now we're going to move to what we call causing the blemish. Such as, hirgila b'chor shiyipo b'mum. If you cause the b'chor to develop a mum,
stumbling block before the
kigon, for example, shenasal dvela al ozno, you put a fig on its ear. Why? To attract a doggy. Ashebo kelev, so the doggy comes and he wants the fig, and unetolo to grab it. V'chatar, he bites his ear and bites off. He does the, who was the boxer? What was his name?
Mike Tyson.
Does the Tyson routine.
Yeah, he
bit off his ear.
That's what I'm saying. And that's this idea. Yeah. And the dog bites off the ear. So the coyote says, I didn't do anything. I just put a fig on his ear. The dog did it. Okay. Or shaholach, you lead the animal. Bein barzel vashoshi shosusi. It should walk through a path of metal or glass shards, so that it's walking by that and it's going to get sliced by it. Until its hand gets sliced, its foot gets sliced, Benita gets chopped off.
Peter would not be happy.
You didn't chop it off, but you just told it go, and it's going to go right over that. Or, Shamar Lagoy, you told a non Jew, put a blemish in it. You cannot shech the animal from such a blemish. It's no different than if you made it directly. That's what this halacha is saying. Zehaklal. This is a general rule that the Rambam will detail as we continue. Komum shenasa lidato. Any blemish that is done with the willful knowledge of the owner of the bechor, okay, whether it's Yisrael or coin owner, he's very happy that that's going on over there. Also, you can't shecht it after that blemish, but we penalize you, and you got to wait for another blemish. Vimnasa shalola, but if it wasn't done with his knowledge, although he's pretty happy it was done, but he really wasn't with his knowledge, you know, hareza shochel, you can shecht that. We'll have a few examples coming up to clarify that general type of rule.
I have a question. I thought there was a general principle that if I tell a dog to attack you, I'm not held responsible.
That's a hilchos nezikin.
Yeah.
That's damages. Who were talking about putting a blemish on a korban and to be penalized for purposely doing that? There's a big difference between dine mamonis and dine korban. Morty, this is for you from your loving mother. Okay, that's the difference. That's for sure a difference. Grum of benizakin is one thing. Putting a blemish in something, I want to benefit from the blemish. To mess up kachim, we don't allow you to do that. We penalize you for that. It's two different wavelengths of halacha. Okay, the only way to understand the next halacha would seem to exactly contradict what we just said, but we got to just massage it and just read a little between the lines and we fix it up here. Omar, this is critical, Omar, the Yisrael said to himself, not to the goy. That's the critical way of reading this pasuk now, this Rambam. If he was speaking to himself, he was not talking to the goy, he wasn't even instructing the goy, he said, wouldn't it be nice? You know, like, gosh, I'm in Svat. Oh, man. Wouldn't it be nice if the animal got a blemish? He's talking to himself out loud. He does not have anybody in mind, doesn't even plan on anybody hearing him, but he's just talking to himself. If only a blemish would fall on the animal, oh, I could shecht it right now. The guy overhears him. He figures he'll do him a favor. And the goy makes a list. He wasn't instructed at all. It wasn't like you're hinting to him. None of that. He's just talking to himself out loud. And the goy figures he'll be a good Samaritan and do him a favor. Then, and the goy does it. then you could check that out, because that was not
so
what
he was
your
saying
dog.
To himself, he was really saying it to himself.
He was saying it.
He was verbalizing it.
Nobody in the room. He didn't know anything. He
wouldn't
just
it be nice?
Talking himself. He didn't know the guys, 10 feet behind him and is listening. Sherei lo nasa b'data was not done with his willful intention. The goy did it without the Jew knowing it. The goy did it because he knew the Jew would appreciate it, but the Jew had nothing to do with it, didn't ask, didn't commandeer it, was nothing. Okay. Now, Yudis, we see a situation, and we're not sure what kind of situation it is. Was it, we saw something, but we're not sure, was this the owner causing it to get a blemish or not? So we have to analyze. Ra'inu, we saw, but again, seeing isn't 100% of the story. We saw she'asa maisa hamargil lahatol b'mum. We saw that the owner did something that did cause a blemish. V'nafal b'mum, and a blemish happened. But here's the problem. V'einu niyodim niskavin l'mumzeh. We don't know if he intended that act to come out from what he caused or not. Hareza lo yishchor alav. You still can't shecht for it. Because we assume because we're talking about Kohanim now. And Kohanim, we already said, we're very suspicious about them. So when in doubt, he's out.
Right.
In other words, we have to wait. Case, let's have an example. Kigon, the coin, shenosan lo saorim b'machum dochuk. The coin is feeding the animal barley, but for the animal to get to it, he has to go through a very narrow path. Right, misorad bekotzim, and that path is fenced in with thorns. Okay, it's not as overt as the shards, and mamish leading him through the shards. And that's not even a question. What's going on? He's just leading through a narrow one. Now, if the animal walks a straight line, he can make it, but a little bit of a mistake, and it could get all, All right. So if he does that, misorad bekotzim. And the cave and she'ochlan, as the animal is eating, nechlokos, it split its lip. Because as it's eating, it's near the thorns and split its lip. Afilu hu chaver, even if the coin is a tamachacha, meaning we assume he's a good coin. We haven't heard about any missteps in the past. Hareze lo yishchor alav, you can't shecht on it, because the overwhelming assumption is that Kohanim are going to abuse the system.
And you want to put other kohanim off.
That's it. V'chein kol kayivs, and anything similar that when there's a suspicion. Again, so you don't even have to be sure now. That's what we're saying. So it comes out, we have four levels here. Clearly you do it without any question. For sure you can't benefit from it. If you just cause it, but it's a direct cause, you cannot benefit from it. If you're a kohen, and it's, we're not sure, we're going to be serious about it. While Bisrael, maybe not necessarily. And if it just, the goy just knew he would have liked it, but it was clearly not his intention, then even with the Kohen, then you could eat from that animal.
Side question. When does a split lip heal?
I guess a kind that doesn't heal. Mm-hmm. Whatever. A kind that's permanent. Okay, here's an interesting case.
I just want a question about the wording. Doesn't the word chaver mean friend?
Not here. In Talmudic Hebrew, a chaver means a talmud chacham. Talmudic Hebrew, a chaver means a talmud chacham. Chaver is used as the opposite of an ama aretz, which is an ignorant person.
Right.
It means a chaver to Torah. That's he's a friend of Torah. Okay, Yudav is a very interesting halacha. Yudav is going to tell us where you can intentionally put a blemish, and you can be able to eat it right away. Because although you intentionally put a blemish, it really wasn't for the intent to put a blemish, but for another reason. Let's see. Let's say a b'chor animal, a b'chor ox, is chasing after you and he's going to gore you. Now, you may have to do some things for self-defense. You do want to live, right? Uba'ato, and you kick the ball right in the schnazzerino because you want to be able to distract it. I mean, you're not doing this because you want to put a blemish, but not because you want to put a blemish. You're trying to stop the animal. Right? And now, look, I busted his eye out. Yeah, but
self-defense.
Yes, self-defense, basically. But now even a little bit more than this.
Like, was coming
Let's say, okay, it quieted down. The bull calmed down, but you're so mad at that bull. He just, he got me saying it. Got anyway. Now, his life was in danger, but his what he calls blood pressure is high. Even if he kicks him now because he chased him before and he's just lost it on him. And you made a permanent blemish with that kicking. Because we know he wasn't doing it to make the blemish. But even though he intended, actually, did you plan on? Oh yeah, I was planning on kicking it for sure. I'm going to teach him a lesson. Even if a kohen would do that, we would still allow that because the circumstance is dictating that he's not doing it to get the blemish on it. Okay, how about some other examples? How about other people willfully doing it, but not the owner, such as Yudbeis, Ketanim, little children who like to play with animals. What do you think little children do when they're on farms? They like to play their horse around with animals, and sometimes some of them are sadistic a little bit, and they want to say, well, I wonder what it would be if I cut off the ear of a cow and see how it reacts. It would be pretty fun to watch it happen, you know? So, Ketanim shi tilubo mum bebechor derech schok, children who put a blemish on a bechor just out of play for a joke. V'chein ha-goy, a goy who knew the resultant halacha. The goy knows what the halacha would be. She'asa lidaito, the goy did it for his own knowledge. And he even knows maybe it would help the Jew. Harez Yisrael, you can shech the animal after that because... Let me back that up again. The goy knew it, but the goy just knew what he was doing. But he didn't know the result of halacha. I should have read that. Not he know, he didn't know. Okay? So then, hareza yishkod alav. You could shecht it because they never really intended to make it permitted. But also, kedela too, but if they specifically blemished it to make it permitted, okay, lo yishkod alav, you can't shecht it.
So I can send my kids out to play with the...
You could send just to play.
Well, I mean,
if you know what they're going to do.
You could. But now, you have to, I don't know, you have to figure how to resolve. It is a shtickel contradiction to what he said on Halacha Ches. Tess, when he heard the assault, say, wouldn't it be nice if it got a blemish? We said you could shecht it because it wasn't done by the owner's knowledge.
This is even less.
So here it's a little...
there's no owner
difference. I don't know how to resolve that issue there.
That's
a bit of a steer. I don't know the answer to that. Okay, how about if you have to cause a blemish in the course of medicinal help? So let's say bechor she'ach sodam. Let's say a bechor has an excess of blood and requires bloodletting for its health. So yakis, you're allowed to bloodlet, but ubelvad shelo yiskavin lasos bo mum, but don't intend to make a blemish. You could take blood out, and in other words, let's say if you know this blood will 100% make a blemish, well then you really can't do it, or if you have to do it, it's still going to be because you made a blemish. Now, just do it in a way that you think it's not going to make...
Do it, then you can't use it for that korban.
Or you have to wait for another blemish. Yeah. But let's say, no, I think I can do without blemishing, and they don't want a blemish, and I think I can do without blemishing, and then it just so happens you did blemish it. Right?
I have to the vet and something has to get... It's inevitable.
Okay, I'm not saying you can't do it, but if you know for sure make a blemish, so all we're saying
does
is...
Does that blemish count?
I wouldn't say you've transgressed the law, but it won't count. You'll have to wait for another blemish. Right. That's all.
Yeah.
But if you thought you could do it without a blemish, then a blemish comes, but you really thought it wasn't going to be, then harez nishkol. Then you could shech the animal right away. You don't have to wait.
It's a good blemish.
Because you didn't want to make a blemish. It didn't have to be a blemish. It just turned out it was a blemish. Right. It caused a blemish like that. Okay, now here's a very fascinating case. What if you put a blemish in vitro? You just stick your knife in way inside the kishka's animal and just snip off the ear.
Before it's even born.
I said in vitro.
Yeah.
In the calf's ear. Let's say nowadays you can really do this. You got the pictures and everything. Yeah. I'm just going to just cut off the ear. A little bit of the ear. That's all. Not a big deal. Interesting. Mutar. It's permitted. not mutar. Lahatil mumba b'chor kodim shesel vera, before it sees the heir of the world, meaning it hasn't given birth, it's not even in the birthing process, because it doesn't get kedusha sabachor till it crosses the birthing canal. So it's not holy yet. Once it's out, coming out, it's already holy. But inside, it's not holy yet. If you shuckle it, you can go and shech the animal, because you're allowed to put a blemish there. Now, when is that? Hold on, not all the time. But medvar morim, bismana zeshe mitzvah, not bias. Well, now when there's no Beis HaMikdash. Because since we know, remember, when there's a Beis HaMikdash, you could never do this, because now the animal will ultimately not be brought as a korban. So you couldn't do that even in vitro. But now you don't have a Beis HaMikdash. What's the best we can do anyway when there's no Beis HaMikdash? You got to wait till it gets a blemish.
Right.
Now, of course, we don't put a blemish in it right away, because you're not supposed to put a blemish in a live animal. But here, since A, it's not live yet, it doesn't have the Kedusha. It will never end up as a Korban no matter what. Doesn't have the Kedusha yet, so you could do it. Again, when there's a Beis HaMikdash, you can't even do it then because you're not going to enable it to have Kedusha. Because it could be, would have been Kaddish, would have been brought as a Korban. But here, since we know it's not going to be a Korban, plus it's not Kaddish yet either because it's been inside, then you could do it. Because the end of nowadays, you're going to end up waiting for a mum anyway for it. So he can't do it when it's born, because then it's Kaddish. You're not supposed to do it until Kaddish that way. The temple exists, usur, it's prohibited, because now you will not enable it to be brought as a korban. You wouldn't get lashed, because the lemaisa wasn't Kaddish, but you shouldn't do it.
Same thing, do a cesarean, it doesn't even need it. I mean,
same thing. Yeah. Shouldn't do that. Tesvav. Now, here's an interesting. We know in general, now Tesvav goes together with Tezayin, cannot be understood without Tezayin. In general, we do not believe the testimony of a woman in court. Regular testimony of a woman is not admissible. We don't also accept hearsay evidence, a witness from a witness. Oh, I heard Ron told me he saw this, and I know Ron's an honest guy, an honest guy. We won't accept my testimony. We will accept it over here by blemishes, and we will see why. Tesvav, now, what do you need the testimony for? Here's the point. One guy testified another. We see there's a blemish, but the problem is, now we know this is a Kohen involved here. So what's the default position? No good. How when a Kohen brings down with a blemish, how is he able to eat it? He has to have two witnesses that saw that the blemish didn't come from the Kohen. For example, two witnesses watched and saw Bessie was just walking and Bessie tripped and fell and broke its leg. Now, the Kohen can bring us this thing because he's got two witnesses backing him up. Okay. So now the question is, we're being pretty strict with Kohanim over here, right? That is very strict. So maybe we don't have to be so strict with the laws of testimony, and maybe with something that normally would not be accepted as legal testimony, for example, for me to kill somebody or to get money from somebody, but for us to not apply such a strict approach to the coin, perhaps we can go with less than 100% perfect testimony, since we're already being very strict on the Kohanim to begin with. So therefore, if one witness by hearsay or says, oh yeah, I know that Cohen's animal had a blemish. Oh, but that was an accident. And I saw the accident myself. The Cohen didn't want that to happen. Neman, he is believed, even though normally not. And in the next level, we're going to say why, because we're very strict in the Kohanim. Afilu Isha, even a woman that we never accept testimony. Neman is Lomar, she could say, Befanai nafal mum's animal. I saw before me the mum happen by itself. The shuckle you can shecht it. Why? Because in Tessayin gives us the stringency that we apply to the Kohen that we've been talking about for six halachas, but we never really got to it. Now it's going to get into full force. Kol hamum and haruim lovely of any mum that could possibly have come through a human being creating that mum. Okay, like, you know, blinding the eye or chopping off the foot or taking a piece of the ear off. You know, certain things, you know, are from birth. Like, you know, someone didn't do it, right? But 5 feet, So 4 feet.
Right,
you
didn't have a foot.
Now, certainly, the person can't do it, but things that could. So there's the suspicious. So let's go through the whole pot. There's, we're going to go through everybody now. Okay, you got a thing. It could be that by itself, but it could be its cost. So let's say this. We give believability. Neman Haroa, a shepherd, a regular Yisrael shepherd. Shepherds work for other people. He's believed. It fell by, the blemish came by itself. And nobody intended to do that. We could do that because they're not Kohanim. They're regular shepherds. Fine. If you shuckle them, you could shech them. But we qualify this. What kind of a shepherd? But imagine, what kind of shepherd? Even Kishayaro Yisrael, it was a Jewish Yisrael shepherd, but even, not only, but even, Vabachor Biakoin, but the Bachor is owned by the coin. In other words, not only a Yisrael Roa for a Yisrael Bachor, but even a Yisrael Roa for a coin Bachor. Well, the coin we not believe, but it's not the coin is testifying, it's the shepherd. The shepherd said, I saw what happened. We'll believe that because he's a Yisrael. He's got nothing to gain, he's just a worker. But what if the shepherd's a kohen? Even if even though it belongs to a Jew and he's the owner of it, let's say it's within the first 50 or 80 days before he can give it, we don't believe the kohen. Because why? Because we're suspect. Because if I'll put the moment, then he'll give it to me. I'm the closest kohen there. So that's why. The reason for the halacha before. So why are we so lenient for a woman or hearsay evidence to believe that the mum was placed in that by a kohen? Because we're being pretty strict with the kohen right away. If the kohen says, I'm telling you, it's my animal, but I swear to God, we don't believe you. So we're being awfully strict, you know. So if we're going to have one witness, or Amy P8 or whatever, will allow that because we're already being overly strict, and that's what we'd be leaning if someone else would testify on behalf.
So in that last case, if it already had been given to the coin, and then this coin shepherd said, gave testimony, so he wasn't going to get it because it had already been given to a coin, then would we...
We're going to get to that in the next halacha. Okay. Yud Zayin, exactly the next halacha. Okay. Coin Shehid Lakoin Acher. One coin testifies on behalf of another coin. Shemum Zemelofel. It fell by itself. Exactly. He'd be a coin shepherd for another coin.
Yeah.
Now, what would you say, Paul?
He's not going to benefit, but maybe they partner and now.
They made a deal together.
Very good. You spoke out the whole Rambam over here. Neman, he is believed. Ve'ein Choshe. We're not suspicious of what Paul is telling us. Maybe they're doing each other a favor. I'll testify for you today, and 6 months from now, you'll testify for me. No, because we have a general rule. Yes, we have a rule that all Kohanim are suspected to put a blemish on an animal that they have so they can eat it outside your Yerushalayim. So they're not to believe for their own benefit. But his friend can testify. Why? And here's the rule, the famous rule. She'ein Adam Chote La'acher. One will not sin to benefit another guy. The general rule is.
For themselves.
And that's not that often. One will do it for the. Yes. Afilu Banavu B'nei Yosua. Even the children or the family of the Kohen. Meanwhile, Bechor, they can testify that the Bechor got the blemish, even though it belongs to their father. Because even a child will not sin for their father. But Avolosh, but not his wife. We won't believe the wife. Wife, Ishto Kagufo. Wife is like him. So therefore she's not believed.
Is there a general principle that we don't consider shepherds to be truthful or honest or something like that? Because they graze on other people's land.
But not for this. This, they don't benefit from it.
I mean, it's a general...
Yeah, because they benefit from it. They benefit, let their animals graze somewhere else. They're benefiting. Enough to schlep her. But if they're not benefiting, why would they lie? Okay, two more levels. Let's finish the parak. Bechor shehayi biyad koyin. A bechor was in the hands of a koyin. V'nofel bo mum. And it had a blemish. V'heid olav eid echad. And one witness. Really repeating a little bit we had over here. We didn't mention eid echad now. We mentioned hearsay and a woman. We didn't mention one witness, which also isn't believed. V'heid olav echad shazam mum. Me'olav nofal. And that one witness says the blemish came by itself. Where we already said he is believed. We already know he's believed from what we said. But here's a new knetch in the picture. But we know what? Okay, we believe it came by itself. Well, you know what we don't know? We don't know, is this the kind of blemish that's considered a blemish or not? We're not experts in the 57, whatever, 72 different blemishes. Well, it definitely is happened by itself. But is it a blemish? And we don't have any scholars right over here. So what happens? So we don't know if this is a mum kavua that you could shecht or not. But we do know something interesting. But the kain is the owner. Shubiyado, Rambam says, I just want you to know, just telling you a fact. Harisimo said, months ago, I showed a similar kind of blemish to an expert when I was in Yerushalayim, let's say. And he said, this is a permanent blemish. I can testify, because I saw an expert, saw that was a permanent, so this must be a permanent blemish too. Now, what's your initial thought?
I don't like it, because he's biased. He wants to say it's a real blemish, so he can eat the animal.
Okay. I raise the number, he's believed. Huh? Why is he believed? You'll hear the difference, and you'll understand. Because let's look at the difference. For a kohen to put a blemish on the animal, what's the worst he did? What's the worst he did? He transgressed a law. And he had a motivation, because he wanted to eat it and not take your shine. But what's the worst he did? Transgressed a law. If he wants to get warned, he's not even going to get lashed. Okay, I did a law. Now, if he lies and said, let's say he's lying and he knows it's not a permanent blemish. Now what's the sin if it's not a permanent blemish? He shechts it outside. Okay. It's shchut echutz. Of course. He ain't messing around with that.
No.
To go over a lav, okay, a lav is one thing. But kares, shchut echutz, it's kachim. Yeah. If it's not really a blemish, it's really kachim. It has to be on Yerushalayim. And he's going to get a whopping punishment. And that's what he said. We're not suspicious that, no, he never saw it from somebody else. Maybe it's a really an unblemished animal. They're not suspected to shechshat mechus. So even though we think they might put a blemish, but that's only a laugh. But kares, no, even a kohen like that isn't going to do that.
Reminds me with the agriculture. No one will do truma. There were certain agricultural ones.
Yes, the Amoritz will separate truma because it's chayv misa, but not meiser because it's not chayv misa. Exactly. Last halacha, v'chein yutes v'chein neman a kohen lamer b'chor mum. A kohen is believed to say the following about a real mum. Now, a real mum, the kohen can say b'chor zen the son of Yisrobo mum. I got this animal, this Jew, who was his firstborn, he gave it to me, and he gave it to me blemished. And it didn't happen in my domain. Are we going to believe him for that? What do you say, Paul?
I'm batting 1,000. <guess I'm>
Take the fifth.
What do you guys, what do you say, Ron? What would you say? He say, the Jew
since
gave
I've been
it
so
me.
Wrong and mistrusted the coin, I'll say we'll believe him this time.
Okay. Well, you're right. But why?
I don't know
but
why?
I'll tell you why. Very simple. If he's lying, he could be caught lying. If he says the blemish came by itself by me, no one can ever catch him if he's a liar.
Right.
But I said, Paul gave me the animal with a blemish. Guess what? We're going to go to Paul and ask him.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if it's a lie, Paul's not going to lie.
Yeah.
And we're not assuming he's saying that. And because, you know, so they won't think that he put it himself there. So that's, but he's, we're not going to say that.
What's his sin? What would his sin be? Like, what would
if he really did
the punishment,
that?
Punishment, yeah.
No, because.
If he got caught.
But the point is, he's only saying that, but really he put the blemish. Yeah. What really happened? What's the suspicion? The Cohen put the blemish, but he said it was blemished when I got it from Paul. So we're not going to say that because he's afraid he'll get caught in the lie. Because we'll go to Paul and say, Paul, did you get it with a blemish or not? That's the point. Shadavar Osibas is something we could find out the truth. A regular case guy says, oh, I had the animal and it got a blemish myself. Well, how can we ever find out the truth? So we assume he'll lie. We'll assume they're going to lie, but they're not going to, number one, lie for kares, like we said before. They're not going to lie if they know they're going to get caught in the lie. He's afraid they're going to ask the owner. The owner will say, what are you talking about? Tell me my abeishas. It was a time when I gave it him. What kind of lie is that? So therefore it comes out, even though we don't believe Kohanim, we will, number one, if there's testimony, even weak testimony, that's not so we will believe it. Number two, if he's telling us something that if he's lying, it would be kares, we would believe him. And if he's telling something that if he's lies, we can catch him in his lie, we believe him as well.